Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your blessing today on the understandings that are going to go forth here upon eyes and ears, Lord. We ask your blessings upon all of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the great things you're doing, Lord, for your people. Amen. All right, this is going to be very interesting. This is, again, the Faction Election War 1, number 12. We call this one, It Is Written, Man-Child-Trump Parallel, Vanessa Weeks. She got this on 12/29, 2020. She said, on December the 29th, 2020, I had a wonderful dream, and all I can remember is seeing David, and I know that this is as a type of the David man-child body of reformers. All I can remember seeing David going around to different people, and everyone they saw, that saw or met him, knew who he was. Well, again, I believe these people are going to be made known much like Jesus was made known, because this is a repeat of history. And history always repeats according to the Bible, Ecclesiastes 1, 9, 10. History will repeat on a larger scale now, too. Jesus' ministry will begin again in a corporate body of the spiritual Son of David. As it is written... That will be important in a moment, you know, as it is written. The revealing of these people will come by vision, meaning a thing seen, which can be by dream or vision to the saints. Here's that, Psalm 89, 19 and 20. Then thou speakest in vision to thy saints and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. This is going to be a big change in history when this happens. I mean, history is going to be repeated, but for us it'll be a big change. And Vanessa said, I asked the Lord for a word on what he wanted to say about this and received by faith at random Romans 8:36. Here it is, even as it is written. There it is. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow, that's interesting. You know, Vanessa said, even as it is written, was emphasized here. The writings about the man-child reformer ministry will be better known. Notice in this text, also as the flesh of the man-child lambs are slaughtered, they become conquerors. And that will be, of course, in the same image of Jesus. Jesus is doing it all. It's Jesus in us that is doing all of this. It is all by grace. Nobody's got anything to brag about. It is by his choice. Vanessa said, I asked the Lord what was written and received by faith at random Daniel 5 and 24. In context, 24 through 31. Then was the part of the hand sent from before him, and this writing was inscribed. Okay, so this is the man-child Daniel in type. His interpretation given to him of the writing that showed the fall of Babylon, our deep state, to Cyrus Trump. Well, that fits pretty good. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and brought it to an end. Again, he's talking to the king of Babylon and Babylon itself. And 27, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Of course, the head was Cyrus, Trump. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with purple, which was, of course, a symbol of royalty, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, Babylonian king, was slain. And Darius the Mede, that's when Cyrus conquered Babylon, received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. All right. Well, notice very carefully, it is written, Daniel, the man-child, was promoted over Babylon by the king on the same night Cyrus was promoted over Babylon by the king. Yes, he was coming in the door. This is a confirmation of the parallel leadership over church and state. In our writings, as well as the scriptures, we've spoken much of this fall of Babylon to Cyrus of the Medo-Persian Empire. And so I believe these writings are going to be fulfilled. Anyway, Vanessa said, this is how people will know who the Davids are, by seeing what is written. And the hand of the Lord is writing on the wall to take down one and to exalt another. Thank you, Father, that this is your plan for your David man-child leadership body, and also for Trump, your Cyrus, as in this text. Right. The same night I dreamed that President Trump was inaugurated for his second term. Okay. Well, we've been predicting this all along by the grace of God and the revelations that are given that this is going to happen. People are all worried about what's going to happen, actually, on this day, the 6th. Don't worry about it. It's nothing to worry about. It really doesn't matter. we know the end product here, you know. So however all the confusions, you know, comes out, it's going to happen. The same night, I dreamed that President Trump was inaugurated for his second term. This was so real, and I was watching the inauguration on a screen. After I was fully awake, I fell back to sleep and dreamed that I was sitting on my bed talking to my mother on the phone. I was telling her about the dream of Trump being inaugurated again. Well, the writings of this new parallel leadership will get out to our mother, the church, when they realize criminal Babylon is being conquered. They don't know what's going on at all. And everything has been hidden because most of them only listen to the mainstream media. And that's pretty much poison. So, with this in mind, we will share Eve Brass' dream. Jesus is manifested and moves the bride to the house of the king. We know that has to happen. And she got this on January the 5th, this 2021. She said, I was praying before I fell asleep last night for Father to show me more concerning all that he is doing during this time with Trump and the man-child David's parallel, where both receive their anointing to rule, and he gave me this dream below, which concerns the epiphany of Christ in his first fruits and the RV of provision for his people in these end times, which comes through Cyrus Trump. Okay. And again, she got this on January the 5th, yesterday. She said, I dreamed this morning that Jesus had totally manifested outwardly through me in appearance or image to others. They were seeing Jesus instead of me. I was still inside of him, but outwardly he was all that remained visible of my old appearance. Well, have you ever heard the old saying, you're the only Jesus that many people will see? So make sure you walk and talk in him, right? You want to be the manifestation of Jesus to the people around you, right? I was able to experience Jesus from being inside of him. I was also able, in the Spirit, to view my appearance from the outside of him as we passed by mirrors or other reflective objects. So she could see this thing, you know. Of course, this is all in the Spirit, not in the physical. But here's how it works out. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, this is an opportunity for us all, with an unveiled face, in other words, not being veiled by religion, you know, as he talked about earlier in this same text, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, this is an imagination, a renewed spiritual imagination. You are to believe that Jesus lives in you. And when you look in the mirror, you should see Jesus. If a man sees his natural face in the mirror, he's going to go away and forget what manner of person he was. And he will be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. Because there's no faith in that. This is faith. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image. So what she is experiencing is this transformation into this image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And we've taught on this glory to glory thing. It is from star glory, moon glory to sun glory. That's the stages of this manifestation of his glory. 30, 60, and 100-fold. When we by faith accept that it is Christ who lives in us, we can understand this verse. Okay. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Do you believe it? I have been crucified with Christ. See, many people are fearful. They think that they're never going to be ready to meet the Lord. There's no justification by faith because they don't believe reconciliation has already been made. An exchange of his life for ours has already been made. So Paul gives a good confession in the sight of many witnesses here. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. There's the good confession. But Christ liveth in me. You went down in the waters of baptism. You died. The one who came up was Jesus. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The good confession. This will overcome any sin, any bondage, this faith. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He truly did give himself to you. And he took you and nailed your sins on that cross. 1 John 2:28, and now my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested. The Greek word for manifested here is phaneru, to make visible, to cause to shine. It is literally shining out of us. It can actually be seen by sometimes by some people. It can be seen. We may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Of course, if he's coming in you, you can be bold and you don't have to be ashamed at his coming. If you're walking in rebellion and self-will and no faith in God and no justification by faith, you're going to be ashamed at his coming. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. What are we waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God. Now he's talking about manifestation. Beloved, now are we the children of God. It's not yet made manifest. Same word is what we've been talking about. Phaneru, to make visible, to cause to shine. In other words, to be able to be seen by others, this manifestation of Christ in you. If he shall be manifested, we know that if he shall, not when he shall appear, that's a total perversion. If he shall be manifested, same word, phaneru, to make visible, to cause to shine, we shall be like him. How clear is that? If he's manifested in you, you're going to be like him. That's Eve's experience in this revelation. She is experiencing it in spiritual type. For we shall see him even as he is. In other words, if you look in the mirror and you see the real Jesus, you can come into that image. If you got a made-up religious Jesus, you can come into that image too. Right? Everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How do you purify yourself? Well, by looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus and accepting the gift that those sins that you don't want and you're fighting against, he took away. They are gone. That's how faith works. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Colossians 3:3-4 says, "For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You died. You died in the waters of baptism, which is just a parable to show you that as you wash yourself with the washing of the water with the Word of God, it will put to death the old man and bring to life the new man. "For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested," same word, that means in us, "then shall you also with him be manifested in glory." Okay, so here is the shining forth of his glory out of his saints. The shining forth. There's another word that's related to phaneru, epiphania. And it's the shining forth out of his people of the glory of God. Amen. What was strange to me is that when I realized that I had become Jesus in outward appearance, I simultaneously realized that I had slowly been becoming him in my mind, will, and emotions all along. That's your soul. All these years. Well, he's been walking in the light of the gospel these years and exercising this kind of faith these years and coming into his image. Eve here is a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. And that's because her name Eve and Adam, right? The new Jerusalem, born from above, according to Revelation, through his word out of heaven, is also this type. It has the presence of God in the temple. Jerusalem, as a type of the kingdom, was made up of the bride, whose head was David, who was a type of the man-child. The Lord is rebuilding this type for the leadership of the church, who is typed as the rest of Israel. See, David, inside the bride, Jerusalem, ruled over all of Israel, right? And Israel represents the church, not the bride. Okay. Even though the bride is of Israel, the bride has left the house of the women and goes to the house of the king. And we'll look at that in just a moment. So, he said, Jesus and I were so totally merged together on the inside that I didn't notice much difference between my mind and my persona and his. The only difference I experienced was his absolute confidence and his power, knowing precisely the will and plans of our Father, and feeling the power and authority to carry those plans out. Wow. Does that sound like Jesus in you or what? You know, he was very confident that he always did those things that he saw of his Father. Well, guess what? The disciples were that way too after him. And in these days, when the manifestation of the sons of God is revealed, it will be the same way. So, how few people understand this Christ in you, the hope of glory thing. But she's giving you an experience of experiencing this. For example, Jesus spoke the word in a perfect numeric pattern, which can only be done by God. Okay. And here's the great wonder. The disciples that he made, who walked in his steps, who fed on his word, which went into them and recreated himself in them so much that people called them Christians. So these disciples that he made, who John the Baptist said were the bride, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, wrote it down, including their own acts, in a perfect numeric pattern. What does that say? Now, we know Jesus could do that. He did do that. He spoke the perfect word of God. But now they were speaking it. They were writing it down, recording it. What do we see here? We see that he is fully in control of the men and women who come into his image, and his presence is alive in them. Eve said, I also had a sense that we were untouchable to our enemies and that they were forced to submit to our Father's plans for his sons and his people for this period of time in the dream. Okay, cool. Well, you know, the same thing was true of Jesus. We saw Jesus pass through the midst of his enemies who wanted to throw him off a mountain. Untouched when he was cornered. They didn't even see him. He was being translated through their midst. I think I saw that he'd done something like that 3 times. And he also said, no man takes my life. As our sacrifice, of course, he said, I lay it down. But he said, no man takes my life. He was confident of that. What about the sons of God who come in his image? Same thing. They got a work to do. They didn't come to the manifestation of Jesus to fly away. No. They're the most valuable people on earth. They're not flying anywhere. Well, they'd be translating around, but they're not flying to heaven for the purpose of staying there for sure. And John 17:14-24, listen carefully. I have given them thy word. The world hated them, and the worldly church too, by the way, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them from the world. Uh-oh, gosh, what? No rapture at this time? But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow. Okay, cool. So you know what is worldly in you has to pass away. There is a crucifixion, as we started out talking about, you know, a death to self. and a resurrection of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. How do you get there? He just said so. Sanctify them. That means make them holy in the truth. Thy word is truth. Politics won't give you this. Studying the word, putting the word in your heart, manifesting the word is what does this. As thou didst send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. Wow. Well, the Father sent him with this authority. And now he's sending these same people in his image, in his authority. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. You see, if you're not sanctified, you can't bring it to anybody else. You can't give anybody something you don't have. If you're sanctified, you can bring people into holiness, which is sanctification. And for that reason, Jesus said, he that overcometh will I give authority. He doesn't give authority to Bible school graduates just because they got a certificate and they went through answering the questions the way they had to answer them for their particular religion. It has nothing to do with that. Or the Pharisees and Sadducees who went through their schools. It had nothing to do with that. It has to do with overcoming first. He will give you authority if you overcome. And if you don't, you don't have authority. It doesn't matter what kind of tag you put on yourself or other people put on you. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. So this can be passed on to the grandchildren. You know? That they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. There's Eve's experience there. That they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. Well, you know what? When these people start walking in the Spirit of God, doing the works of God, just like Jesus, you know what they're going to find out? They're going to know that Jesus was sent and that he sent them. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given unto them. That they, there's that glory shining forth, right? The shining forth of the Epiphania. That they may be one, even as we are one. Notice that this Epiphania makes us one. It doesn't bring faction in our midst. Faction comes to divide the wicked from the righteous so that the righteous can be a pure and holy body in through whom the Lord can flow. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected into one. That the world may know that thou didst send me, and lovest them even as thou lovest me. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Well, all you got to do is look in the mirror and by faith see the glory of Jesus. You will come into that same glory. You will manifest the shining glory of Jesus. Behold my glory, which thou hast given me, and he will give it to you too. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I saw that Jesus was in charge of a beautiful house that was on wheels. Okay, another parable here coming. A beautiful house that was on wheels. And I believe this is the Holy Ones, the mobile tabernacle of his presence, which is his people. It's not a tent. It's not a building. The mobile tabernacle of his presence. As long as you walk in that body, it's a mobile tabernacle of his presence. Prepared for the wilderness, which is the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and 17. That's chapter 12 and chapter 17. As it was in type for Israel. The manifestation of Christ in us by word and spirit is this mobile tabernacle of his presence. Eve said, but in the dream, it didn't look anything like an RV. I never saw a driver's seat or a steering wheel, nor was it long and narrow like an RV. It was literally a very nice house with wheels that Jesus controlled with his mind and his will. Now that's what we desire. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Not the children, the sons of God. The house was high off the ground, at least 5 feet. The wheels weren't normal, like on a vehicle. They were all positioned underneath the foundation of the house at different places for perfect balance. These wheels were in groups of four, like a square of wheels on casters, so that it could move in any direction. In other words, the Lord told me years ago, he wanted me in my vehicle, that is this body, not to be in forward or reverse, because then he could push me forward, he could push me backwards, right? So in other words, I'm not to predict where I am to go and what I am to do and when I'm going to be there and so on, you know. He wanted to be in total control. It's like you take a little car, kid's car, and you move it any way you want it to go, you know. The driver doesn't do that, you know. They were like what I imagined the wheels in Ezekiel looked like, except they were made of rubber like our vehicle tires. They could go in any direction that Jesus willed them to go. This is the house of God, the mobile house of God, the gathering of God's true holy saints, right? Well, so she puts a part of Ezekiel here, Ezekiel 1:16-21. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto a barrel, and that's B-E-R-Y-L, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel within a wheel. And when they went in their four directions. They turned not when they went. As for their rims, they were high and dreadful, and they four had their rims full of eyes round about. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. You see that? Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was the Spirit to go. Yeah. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Right. And the wheels were lifted up beside them, for the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. What's interesting is that these wheels were moved by the Spirit, as in the text that Eve is going to give below, that she was given, where Esther was guided by the Spirit in order to be beautiful to the king. Mm-hmm. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up beside them, for the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Mm-hmm. She says the interior walls of the house were painted in a soft yellow color, kind of like the sun. /SON, the /SON, with beautiful crown moldings all around the walls and white doors throughout. It was all bright inside. Well, there it is. That's the glory of the sun, S-O-N, within, right? The glory of the sun. Praise God. So, of course, we should be a reflection of Christ in our souls, in our mind, our will, and our emotions. It doesn't stop with your spirit. It goes from your spirit to your soul. If your soul submits to your spirit, which submits to the Spirit of God, you will manifest Christ in your soul, not just in your spirit. You can't be much more than a 30-folder if the only thing you have is the manifestation in your spirit. It needs to be in your soul and in your body, right? Jesus and the men of local UVM were in this house on wheels, going around to all the local UVM women's houses, pay attention, and helping them pack up their things and get into the house on wheels. Well, this is all written, you know. All of the bride who, like Esther, learned to please the king must go from the house of the women, that's what it said, women's houses, right? House of the women to the king's house. Praise God. Here it is, Esther 2, 12 through 20. Now when the turn of every maiden was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that it had been done to her according to law for the women 12 months, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months with sweet odors, with the things for the purifying of the women. So this is a sanctification of the women in order for them to go to the king, to go into the king's presence, right? Then in this wise came the maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. See, some of these made a mistake. They chose the things that they thought the king thought was beautiful. Okay. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women, to the custody of Sheshgaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. Okay, so the women who went to the king's house and didn't measure up because they sought their own idea of beauty returned to the house of the women. Now, pay attention. Now, when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, representing the Holy Spirit, here it is right here. She wanted nothing but what the Holy Spirit knew the king liked. The keeper of the women. Haggai was the keeper, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women. That is the Holy Spirit. And it went on to say, the keeper of the women appointed. So, it says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of them that looked upon her. Why? Because she only wanted those things that the Holy Spirit appointed. The Holy Spirit knows what God likes, knows what the king likes. It didn't say this about the other women. It only said this about Esther. So Esther was taken into King Ahasuerus's, into his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. So Esther was the one who went into the king's house and stayed as the bride because she obeyed the Holy Spirit's idea of beauty. The rest of them, they were just concubines, according to this. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained favor and kindness in his sight more than all the virgins. Well, notice, the virgins here is applicable to all of those who were not a part of the bride. Would you pay attention here? The religions out there all say the virgins is the bride. No, they're not. They're the bridesmaids. They escort the bride and the groom in the marriage ceremony to the groom's home, which, by the way, is in heaven. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now we know who Vashti was. It's representing the rebellious first wife of the king, who did not come when the king called her. And that was Israel. Then the king made a great feast, of course, just exactly what the Bible says, representing the marriage feast. The king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. Oh, God is going to pass out a bunch of gifts at this time, representing provision to rebuild the kingdom, by the way. We see this parallel in many places in the Bible. So, here's the story of all the women that were applying to the bride's position. The only one who came out of the house of the women to stay in the king's house was the bride. And that's the way it's going to be. And it goes on in verse 19. And when the virgins, these, of course, are not the bride, but the bridesmaids, were gathered together the second time, then Mordecai was the one who raised up the bride to be beautiful. And Mordecai means little man, like man-child. There's no chances of this being accident. And it's that way now. The man-child, whoever he is, he's out there like David and the sheep, you know, preparing, you know, preserving, feeding. Before he was anointed to be king, actually. And this was before Mordecai was anointed to be king. So you see, the parallel is perfect. So the virgins, the bridesmaids, were gathered together a second time. Then Mordecai was sitting in the king's gate. That was a place of official authority. We pulled up to a large house with many rooms. In other words, we pulled up in this mobile house to a large house with many rooms that seemed to house the whole family circle from local UBM. Now, you that are not in local UBM, pay close attention, because he's going to talk about you here in a minute. The Lord is no respecter of persons or geography, I can tell you that. You know, if you're in the bride, you're in the bride, right? So we pulled up to a large house with many rooms that seemed to house the whole family circle from local UBM. And this would not be true, obviously, if we hadn't gone through this sanctification process of the faction choosing themselves unworthy of the kingdom. This is a cleaning process that we've gone through since 2011. Representing all of the local UBM family, she has in parentheses, and Jesus lined up the front door of his house on wheels and the front door of the family circle house. So Jesus is the door, and our door must be him. The only way into his house is through his door. I watched the local UBM men extend a sort of U-Haul plank between the two front doors so that the moving of the women would be easy and seamless. John 10:1-5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Jesus was talking about the leaders over God's people before he came through the door, right? So those that come by religion and not the door are the thieves. Everybody says this is the devil who's the thieves. No, it's the false leaders of God's people. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Notice, he has to lead his sheep out of the sheepfold of men. It's the same today. The come-outers are not the people. The come-outers are the people who have come out of the denominations in Jesus' day, of that day, you see, came out of those denominations and followed him. Today, it's the same thing. Coming out of the house of the women is the same thing as coming out of the religious sheepfolds to follow the Lord. When he hath put forth his own, that is, out of the sheepfold, and in Jesus' day, literally, it was talking about, you know, the sheepfold of Judaism, right? Okay, and he was leading them out to follow him. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you cannot be a son of God and be under the law. Cannot be. When he hath put forth all of his own, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And you understand? He is saying that the real people of God are not going to stick around in a playpen and listen to the strangers, the thieves, and the robbers. They're going to climb over the bars and follow Jesus. Jesus and I walked inside the family circle house and saw Sue Gilbert. Well, the meaning of the name Sue is lily or rose. Solomon spoke of the bride in Song of Solomon 2:1-2. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters, the Lord says. Yes, so he picked out, you know, the Shulamite in Song of Solomon, the perfected one, from among the queens, the virgins and the concubines, right? He picked her out, and that was the bride. And the meaning of Gilbert is bright promise. Well, we know the glorious promises are how to come into the image of Christ and how we can bring others into that image. So Sue represented one who was ministering this image to someone else now, okay? Sue greeted us excitedly and wanted to show Jesus how she had fixed Shalonda's hair. We looked at Shalonda, who was just beaming because her hair had grown long. In 1 Corinthians 11, long hair is a sign of submission to our husband, Jesus. And what's being shown here is Shalonda is coming into the submission of the Lord. Sue had braided her hair in really nice plaits and placed little purple dyed stamps all along the braids with the seal of Jesus on them. So Jesus was really pleased with this, and I thought Shalonda's hair was so pretty too. I was happy for her that she finally had the long hair that she'd always prayed for, and the purple seals were the finishing touches. Amen. It's awesome. And Psalm 8 and 6 says, "Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as Sheol. The flashes thereof are flashes of fire, a very flame of the Lord." And also, you've got 2 Timothy 2:19a. "Howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal." There's those seals. "The Lord knoweth them that are his." Oh, praise the Lord. What a blessing. We proceeded to move all of the women into the house on wheels, and then continued making our rounds to the other houses of women, some of whom I did not know in the dream. In other words, they had not been a part of our local UBM body up to this point in time, but Jesus knew who they were. In the dream, I knew this gathering was occurring locally, but also I knew Father was gathering to us a worldwide remnant. He was gathering us all into his house on wheels to take us to a larger and better house that our Father had prepared for the end times just ahead. Well, we know that the mobile tabernacle is to bring us to the permanent temple. We know that we live in this mobile tabernacle, but we're going to have a permanent body. A permanent body. Then I woke up. So I asked for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on the phrase, "I cried unto him with my mouth," quote unquote. And it was in Psalm 66, 17. And in context, 3 through 20. This text really fits well with the question I had asked the Father the night before I had the dream about showing me more of what he was doing concerning his plans for the Trump/David/man-child parallel revelations, and the recent prophecy by Kent Christmas from 12/31/20 that David shared in the broadcast from January the 3rd. So, once again, Psalm 66:17, 3-20 in context. "Say unto God, how terrible are thy works! Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee." Well, true, everybody that came to Jesus was at first an enemy. And let me say that when Jesus is manifested, even the enemies out there can't do anything with that. Eve said, "This reminds me of the feeling that I had being in Jesus, that our enemies were forbidden by the Father to interfere with his will going forth." Yes. Jesus said, "I always do those things that I see of my Father," and his disciples do the same thing. And nobody could thwart the will of God through these people. "All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing towards the children of men. He turneth the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot." Well, this is, of course, once again applying the parable of the Red Sea destruction of the beast, who chased the bride to this circumstance. This is what's coming. We have the Red Sea coming. Absolutely no doubt about it. And it is going to be a destruction of the wicked who are doing all they can to destroy the bride. You know, in the parables of the Sennacherib and the northern 10 tribes, you know, for instance, and Jehoshaphat's three armies that came against him, all of these were the beast that was coming against the bride. And, of course, God smote them, brought them to naught. That's like the Red Sea. It's been applied in the scriptures as the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was at a time of a Passover when God's people were getting ready to go into the wilderness, which is the tribulation. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are on this timeline. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his might forever. His eyes observe the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Of course, they have exalted themselves. The faction in the world is so stupid. And the faction in the church is so stupid because they have exalted themselves. They've illegally put themselves in positions of authority in both the church and the faction and in the government. They have illegally put themselves in positions of authority by election fraud. And, of course, in the faction in the church, it's the same thing. They did the same thing. People who would not be considered anybody as far as an elder have made themselves elders and take authority over, they think, people far wiser who have actually been sent by God. So, verse 8, "Oh, bless our God, ye peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved." Oh, praise the Lord. We love that, don't we? He suffers not our feet to be moved. He is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep you from stumbling. His life in you will be the life of Christ. And you're working towards this manifestation of star, moon, and sun glory as you walk by faith, seeing Jesus in the mirror. You will be kept, you know, along that path, the highway of holiness, where the beast cannot come up thereon. You see, as long as you're walking down the highway of holiness, as long as you're walking towards Zion, the bride, to either be in the bride or under the bride, because it's going to be one or the other, God is going to bless you. It's when people stop and get off on the side trails that they get taken out. And so consider that. Always continue to walk in the path of the Lord. It's a narrow path. It's not as broad as Babylonish religion would tell us, right? "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Yeah, it has to go through the fire, right, to get the slag off, right? It goes through the fire. We have to go through the fire. People that don't want to go through the fire end up rebelling. And the Lord turns them loose. "Thou broughtest us into the net." That's the net of the fishes. "Thou layest a sore burden upon our loins. Thou didst cause men to ride over our heads." We went through the fire and through the water. This is the path of the righteous. How will it be? It was that way for Jesus. He promoted people over him. The Pharisees exercised authority over him. And the Roman army, the beast, exercised authority over him. He said, "Thou didst cause men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." Oh, praise the Lord, and so it shall be. "I will come into thy house with burnt offerings." What do we have to offer? Jesus is the high priest of our confession. If we confess him before men, he will confess us to the Father and to the holy angels, he says, who bring to pass the will of God in our lives and defend us against the wicked and so on and so forth. With burnt offerings. What are these burnt offerings? Well, they're representing the sacrifice of our flesh in the midst of the fiery trial. And that is in order to enter into his house. He brought us out into a wealthy place. "I will come into thy house with burnt offerings." If you don't sacrifice your flesh, if you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. That's what Jesus said. Some people are totally turned over to their flesh because they rebelled. They refused to listen to the word. And they, like Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, turned the man over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh so that their spirits might be saved in the day of the Lord. Okay, that's what the desire is for them to be saved. And he goes on, "I will pay thee my vows, which my lips uttered, and my mouth spake when I was in distress." And then in 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Well, you know, the people who are manifesting Jesus will have a witness and will have a testimony. God, the people will see Jesus in them. You'll see Jesus in their life because they're walking holy by the grace of God because of their faith. "I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." And that's what we should do. We should constantly praise him, brag about him. That's what praise is, by the way. It's bragging on the Lord. What has he done? Not what have we done, but what has he done? "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." This is true. If a person is following after the flesh, they must die, according to Paul in Romans 8. "But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we shall live." You know, of course, doctrines have been created out there by men to just annul everything I just said. But I just quoted the word, you know, just annul it. We don't want to be in fear. We don't want to fear the Lord, you know. And so people find a comfortable place out there where the flesh can live and they don't have to go through a fiery trial. But God is going to be merciful with some. He's going to bring them through a fiery trial anyway. "But verily God hath heard." He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But verily God hath heard." Therefore, they would not regard iniquity in their heart. They wouldn't listen to the iniquity. "He hath attended unto the voice of my prayer." How do we get our prayers answered? By living the crucified life that Jesus commanded us to do. We've been called to walk as he walked. We've been called and invited to partake of his presence in our life. And it goes on in verse 20, "Blessed be God who hath not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me." Amen. Okay, now we're going to turn to something very interesting, I think. All of this timeline we've already talked about somewhat. The experience is very, very cool. that Eve went through, I think. It just explains to us that we're going to walk as he walked. It let everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. That's what it says. And Jesus was in constant contact with the Father. He knew the will of God. He went about to do the will of God. He knew it. Isn't that nice? Yes, to always know his will and be in his will and to have him flowing through you because you're there as a willing vessel. And he wants to flow through us. And this can only happen, by the way, through what we've talked about here, the crucified life. We have to give up what we want to follow after what God wants. So this revelation here is something very interesting. We called it What Follows David's Timeline. In other words, this thing we've been talking about. What follows this? It's going to be a great departure from the status quo following this. Matt Stewart got this on January the 1st, 2021. And Matt said, while I was having the dream, it was like I knew I wasn't going to remember the dream when I woke up because I haven't been remembering any of the dreams I have been getting recently, which I didn't until later that day when I remembered hearing the Lord's voice. Mm-hmm. This sparked him to remember the dream, hearing the Lord's voice. The dream started like this. We, all of local UBM, were in our usual meeting, and everyone was sitting in their usual spot, and David was giving a message about timing and how things might come to pass. Okay. We've been doing that, haven't we? I don't remember what timing David was talking about, but I think the Lord did that on purpose. And he has a smiley face there. Yes, I do. I believe it's, you know, it was given at this time to fit with these revelations that I'm sharing today. So that you might know we're about to turn a corner here. And the timings that we've been talking about through this time period are leading to something else. So he said, I was feeling in the dream like, oh, well, that won't come to pass. And of course, he is feeling something in the dream for a purpose because there's a lot of people out there listening who are saying the same thing. I was feeling in the dream like, oh, well, that won't come to pass. And another timing thing, it probably won't happen. And that's quote unquote. And I felt that there were others that were thinking of the same thing. Yeah, so if you're thinking that way, God has a correction for you. Now, you know, over the years, we've received many wonderful, beautiful signs of, for instance, the coming of the man-child. Of course, we hoped that all of these were leading up to that point, but they were signs. They were true signs, miraculous signs. God just wanted to keep reminding us that we should strive for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and be ready. And, of course, forgetting those things which are behind, that's what we do. We strive for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a high calling. I would say it's the bride and the man-child. That's the high calling. Okay, so he had doubt, you know, thinking that, okay, these things will happen again, but they won't bring to pass the things that we're talking about either. Well, after thinking that, there was nothing but white all around me. Everything else was gone. And I knew that the Lord was right next to me. Then he spoke to me and said, "It will happen soon." Quote, unquote, "It will happen soon." The feeling I got after he said this was that it will happen right after David's timing. That's the timing we've been talking about here. Now, this came at this time, so we would know what timing he's talking about. Like he said, he didn't think this happened by accident. Then he said, "You'd better be ready." And Matthew put in parenthesis, "spiritually." Then the dream ended. So he said, "It will happen soon. You'd better be ready." So let me ask, what follows the timeline that we've been sharing? And during the night after this dream, a lot of things went through my head. I'm only going to share a few of them, but I believe that they're an answer to this revelation here. What is it that's going to follow the timeline we've been talking about? And I believe that the Lord has brought back memory of things from the past that tell me of this revelation that was given to Matt. Back in Bill Clinton's presidency, a group of authorities, I think it was military men too, and I think that they were armed and everything, came to him to sign into law Nasara Jisara law. This was not his will at all, because it would destroy the deep state that he loved. And so he was doing this under duress. Now, I'm just relating to you what was related to me some time back. I believe they showed him the crimes that he would be arrested for, much like they are doing to the criminals today. You know, a lot of these people are turning over all of their brethren. It's sword against sword. The enemies are killing each other off with their swords, like we prophesied would happen and prayed would happen. So they're, you know, giving them a better deal if they turn in the other criminals. And they're doing it because there's no honor among thieves, fornicators, liars, slanderers, right? Not at all. It's going to happen among the faction in the church too. It is happening, actually. So this thing was signed by him under duress, but not enforced. Maybe they told him that. I don't know. It wasn't enforced. But more recently, you will remember that President Trump went to see the Queen of England. And it was said that he brought with him all the intelligence of her criminal activity, which is considerable. It's said by people who are witnesses that Buckingham Palace is shut down, boarded up, and she is not there. This is witnesses. And what they've told the people is it's for renovations, but there's no renovation going on. There are expert scientists going through the place and the tunnels underneath to prove this crime that's been going on there, just like in the rest of the deep state. Same thing with the Pope. Same thing. These people are all, and the CIA, they're all different legs of the same beast, right? And all this criminality is coming out. Well, anyway, Trump went there with a stack of papers to show to her her criminality, that he knew about it. And what I read back then was to get from her the USA Incorporated deed. I'm not sure it was called a deed, but something like that. USA Incorporated. Now, you can find out about this if you just do a little bit of research. The date is February the 21st, 1871, and the 41st Congress is in session. You can go to the Acts of the 41st Congress, Section 34, Session 3, Chapters 61 and 62. And I'll give you a link here that you can study this if you want to. And from what I've read briefly, our government was in deep financial trouble and made a deal with the devil, basically. Congress again, you know. And they made a deal with the banksters that turned the USA into a corporation. Our government was bought by the Rothschilds of London, and our Constitution was changed to suit this. Now, we know President Trump, being a strict constitutionalist, wanted this destroyed and us returned to the true and original Constitution and the freedom that it gave. We thought we had freedom, but we don't. We are owned. Okay. This was so that Nasara-Jisara law could be implemented. And I'll give you a link here so you can read about Nasara-Jisara law. Nasara dealt with our nation. Jisara dealt with the same law that is going to the whole world. And there are 209 nations signing on to this thing because it's going to be a great, it's going to be great in a lot of ways, but it's going to change poverty among the nations. It's going to bring nations up on a level meet the people's needs. And believe it or not, they have repatriated tons and tons and tons of gold and silver and precious metals and jewels and so on and so forth. And they've done this from the Vatican, which was part of this illegal theft, I would say. And the Queen of England was part of it. The deep state here, and they found much money like this in the tunnels and so on and so forth. And so the deep state distributed our money to these places to do their part in supporting the deep state. And all of these were into Satanism, child sacrifice, etc., etc. Okay. So Trump immediately, you know, upon becoming president in his first term, set about to find out about all this child, because children were turning up missing by the thousands and thousands everywhere, and this has been going on for a long time. And he, basically declared to the CIA he was going to get to the bottom of this, and he's been doing it ever since. Of course, this whole plan was started, I believe, back with JFK, when he too wanted to do the same thing and declared that he would scatter the CIA, and of course they killed him. And JFK Jr., I believe, is with us today, even though he faked his airplane crash in order to escape the same thing that was happening to the members of his family who were being assassinated by the deep state. And so anyway, you'll find out about these things. So Trump wanted to destroy this fake constitution, and he wanted to destroy this corporation, this USA Incorporated, in order to bring in Nasara Jisara law. And when you read this law, you will love it. I'll just say right off that some people say, well, David, isn't this really just preparing for the one world currency and the mark of the beast that's coming down the road? And I say, yes. I say, yes. But I want to tell you this, that the mark of the beast, as I've said, is not the devil's plan. The devil is being used to bring it to pass, but it's not the devil's plan. Understanding the sovereignty of God is a great thing. This is God's plan. The mark of the beast is going to separate the fake Christians from the real Christians, which God said he was going to do. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I'll send forth my angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling and do iniquity. And he said he would gather together these in bundles to burn them, the tares, right? In bundles to burn them. This is God's plan. This whole thing is God's plan. At this particular time, Nasara Jisara will be very useful in rebuilding the kingdom of God. And for that reason, the deep state wants nothing to do with it. They've done everything to fight it. They've tried to do everything to stop it. Because at this time, it's not going to profit them. It's going to plunder them. They don't have a right to the benefits of what has been repatriated and more. So much gold and silver has been discovered. President Trump is not worried about money. He wants to spend all of the old dollars that belongs to the old system, spend it till it's gone, and then bring out the new dollars, all of the income of the new dollars goes to the U.S. Treasury. It doesn't go around the world and come back to us and is loaned to us, for goodness sake. What kind of criminal thing is this? You know, it goes right straight in the Treasury. You're going to love what's happening. You're not going to love everything that's happening, because we're headed towards a war. And we're headed towards a great shaking. God's people will be in peace in these things. They will know God and be in peace about these things. These things are coming. I mean, just like the Red Sea was a taking down of the beast enemy that wanted to devour God's people. That's where we're headed. So President Trump, I believe, actually, he has already said that Nasara Jisara is in effect. He hasn't made it public to the world yet, but he has said it. He has made this decision, and that's what this is all about. But we just had an election for under USA Incorporated, which does not legally exist. What did we do this for? The election for USA Incorporated is null and void, but it was planned to continue to prove all of the deep state criminals in the government so they could be prosecuted. In other words, drain the swamp. Now they know everybody in government, in governors, in judges, in corporations, in Hollywood, on and on. They know everybody who has taken Chinese money to invade and take over us and institute communism. They know this. And it was through this election fraud that a lot of this has been discovered. It was planned to go through this election fraud. It's a fraud in more ways than one. It's a fraud because there is no USA Incorporated. It's just been done away with. Okay, I'm giving you my understanding of the things, the bits and pieces here and there that I've picked up. You can find them all in writing somewhere. I suspect this is the time that this can be said. Because this revelation was given to us, this is the time that this can be said safely. Because most people are not going to believe it. It's going to happen, but they're not going to believe it. Okay, until it does. And so, this election, like I said, it was null and void before it started. But it was planned to continue in order to prove all of these deep state criminals in the government who have been Judases to their country, and they're going to be prosecuted. And their plan, of course, of President Trump to drain the swamp is in full force. It's working. Okay? Because God ordained this. He told us. I don't know. Some people are saying, oh, you don't want to trust Trump. I mean, this is all leading to the mark of the beast. And so, And all the stuff that they want to inoculate you with, you know, which has the chip in it and all that stuff. Listen, the mark of the beast is not going to come now. Is all of this leading up to it? Yes, it is. And can they change your DNA if they give you all of these, you know, inoculations that they plan? Yes, it would. But I can tell you, after doing a study, there's been studies made of who it is that are taking these shots, who it is that are going to take these shots. And it's the leftists, by far. The conservatives want nothing to do with it, by far. Who is it that's in lockdown, mostly? Who is it that's dying of COVID, mostly? It's the leftists. They're killing themselves. They're destroying their own cities. They've got their Antifas out there destroying their own cities. Who could do this? Only God. Who could be so stupid? Leftists. Yes, they are destroying themselves. And yes, they would be the ones to take the shots. And, but I can tell you, the mark of the beast doesn't happen until the middle of the tribulation period, and we are not there. I don't care what people say. We are not there. Okay, so yes, all this has been leading up to that. We've had all the marks of the beast of the past, all their engineering, and it's progressed along, and it's, you know, they figured out ways to do it, and yep. But don't worry about it. Just trust in the Lord, and you won't fall into their trap. You know, they, of course, eventually it will lead to a place where you can't buy or sell. unless you have the mark of the beast. Well, just don't have the mark of the beast, you won't have to worry about it, right? And by the way, God wants us out of the buying and selling. I don't know if you've noticed Jesus' parables about this. They're all negative. He's trying to get us into giving and receiving. What can the government do with that? Not much. Giving and receiving is still legal. And it's a blessing to be to enter into God's economy. Okay. Anyway, this is all leading towards the draining of the swamp. I'll tell you what I think we should suspect. That the president will ultimately be proven, just like in this revelation I'm sharing today, to be the president and to be the one who was rightly elected, even if that particular USA Incorporated doesn't exist anymore. So he has to make a decision pretty quickly to do something, and he knows this. I believe we should expect the president to step down from this position to become a presidential candidate for the new republic of the USA. The new republic. In other words, we would be going back to being a republic. Okay, not just a democracy, a republic. And the Nasara-Jassara law demands a new election for the whole government within 120 days of its announcement. Now, let me say, Trump and his confederates have corralled all of this money, and everybody wants a part of this. Not only this, but there's, I'm not going to talk too much about this, discoveries in the ground of tons and tons and tons and tons of gold. It's all going to be a part of this too. So 209 nations, none of them, when have they ever agreed on anything? None of them are disagreeing with Nasara-Jassara, because this opens to them this new economy. This is an economy where there will be no IRS. There will be no income tax. There will be taxes on new goods, like maybe new cars and things like that. Used stuff, no taxes. Drugs, no taxes. Food, no taxes. No income tax. The IRS will be abolished. Now, you can read this. I'll put the link here. You can read what's happening, and it is happening. And everything is leading up to this. But guess who is not going to be able to invest in this GCR, the deep state? Because they're found to be criminal, and he's already done an executive order to take all of the money away from these people who are found to be working against our republic. So, Nasara-Jassara, this is a motivation for the nations to go this way. It's motivating them so much that they're willing to throw the deep state out and agree to Nasara-Jassara. If you don't agree to the law, you can't take part in the economy. And this election in within 120 days of the announcement, I think the announcement has already been made. And we're headed quickly towards this and away from USA Incorporated. This election will be done by, I'm hearing, blockchain vote, which is unhackable, and everyone votes by their phone or their computer. One of the first things you're going to find out when people do a vote is that Trump actually did win by a landslide of over 80%. And I think it's going to be considerably over 80%. This is going to prove his favorability among the people. And I don't know what's happening today. I haven't looked. I mean, I know this is the big day. I know that there are speeches, and I know that there is going to be presentations of wrongdoing. And I know, you know, all this is supposed to come down. I'm not worried about it. I read the book. I know the end of the story here. And so I'm not worried about it at all. I understand Soros or or whoever is representing Soros has put a bounty on Trump's head of, what, $40 billion? Am I remembering this correctly? $40 billion? It's a tremendous amount of money on his head. So you can pray for the president, but I can tell you from what I read in Scripture, he's got nothing to worry about. Who has ever put out a bounty on somebody like that? I mean, nation states would be after that money. Yes. So anyway, yes, he's going down just like the rest of them because God has ordained it. You know, we've written many times and spoke many times about when the odds are against you, they're in your favor because God's power is made perfect in weakness. Listen, who has ever survived any spiritual, you know, attacks like is coming from the deep state people, Republican and Democrat, and the mainstream media? Who has ever survived this before? What is God showing? He's showing that he rules. So, you see, it's all going to begin after this show of an election to drain the swamp. That's what Matt's revelation, I believe, is talking about. At the end of the timeline we've been talking about, which is very close, obviously, I don't know when the president will be ordained. I don't think they think it's going to be very long, but this is not the important thing. The important thing is what follows. When Eve saw in her dream that the reporters were all waiting for the elected president, Trump, to show up, he didn't show up. The man-child showed up instead. Now, I think there is a hidden meaning here of him not showing up. I believe that he is going to take this to prove who they are, but he's going to step down from this for his bigger legal plan to be president of the new free republic. Okay? This is my theory. I'm sticking with it for now. So, according to what God said, you better be ready. You better be ready, he said. For what? Well, for civil war, for one thing. The deep state is not going to take this lying down, but they eventually will take it. They'll be fleeing to every place that they can hide. They will take it. But you and I need to be ready for a Passover of destruction that will sweep away kingdoms, including the apostate church. Oh yeah. Sweep away kingdoms. And of course then, just thinking back of our parable here of Egypt, you know, they had a Passover, great destruction to the Egyptians, who were trying to keep the Israelites under their thumb, much like they are the church today. It brought great destruction to the Egyptians. And the Passover, of course, was because they ate the lamb. I hope you're eating the lamb Jesus Christ. It was because they ate the lamb and they were set free to go to the wilderness. And that, of course, is the tribulation of the church, the trial of the church, the testing of the church. So we're coming to the end of that time frame and about to enter into another. And we're headed towards the wilderness. Okay. In Haggai, when the man-child Zerubbabel, which means born from Babylon, began to rebuild the kingdom of God on earth, because he was sent by the king of Osiris to go and do this, there was a great shaking of heaven and earth that overthrew the throne of kingdoms. And this is, of course, the kingdoms of men. And this is all written in Haggai 2, 20-23. I'll read it to you in a moment here. It's mentioned here that this would be an overthrow of the chariots and their riders. You know, according to the parable of the Red Sea, right? And this is, of course, the factions that are against the church, in church and state. They're all going to fall at our Red Sea. They've been chasing the church, chasing the people of God, chasing, trying to destroy the bride and the man-child. Listen, Planet X is being guided by the Lord, and it's coming to overthrow them. And that's why he's saying, you better be ready. Well, let me read it to you here. Haggai 2:20-23. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. He was the governor of Judah, the leader of the people, the man-child, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now think about this. It's shaking the whole earth and the whole heavens. What do we know that is passing through that would do that? And what does he say? I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Oh, praise God. Well, I think that's why we went through this fake election, so we can see who's who. And boy, they've come out of the woodwork. We have found out people who we thought were conservatives who were in league with the deep state. And who and which received money from the Chinese to overthrow our republic or our democracy. Our republic is not here yet. It's coming back. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Wow, what could do this? Shake the whole earth? Destroy the leadership of nations? What happened at the Red Sea? Well, it's mentioned right here. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. And they are cutting each other up, turning each other in. Every time they go to these people and say, look, here's what we got on you. It's an open and shut case. Head to Gitmo. or up to one of the ICE prisons in Iceland and Greenland. Yeah, they're bigger than Gitmo. Oh, and there are other places in the States and out of the States. Yeah. And a lot of these people have made deals to spare their lives. Some of them, they wouldn't permit this, and they execute them. Everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. He was a signet. He was a sign of God's authority. Like Mordecai, who also received a signet ring from the king of authority. In fact, he took it away from Haman, who wanted to destroy the people of God. He took away his authority and gave it to Mordecai, who then used it to destroy the beast kingdom that wanted to destroy the people of God. So, in Eve's parallel dream, the Davids showed up in the president's place. In other words, over the beginning of the reformation of the kingdom of God in order to speak the destruction of the Edomite factions. Because as you know, David, when he was ordained, he went about to destroy the Edomites. So all of these parables put together let us know that we're going to win this thing by the grace of God. It was planned. It was written. According to the revelation we got, it's been written. It's already there. Everything is there. But you better be ready. That's what God warned. You better be ready. So you see, Matt's dream shows the end of this timeline of the election war that we've been speaking of, and the beginning of a new timeline from the Lord. And it's going to be a new thing. At least for us, it's going to be a new thing. As we've seen, it's been written about throughout history. So it's not really, there's no new thing under the sun. But to us, this is going to be a new thing. But you better be ready. There's a Passover time coming, both in this war with the factions and with the Planet X, which is going to come by at least once, and it may not escape the sun's gravity and actually come around again. I don't know. We'll see. It has happened before, from what I can understand. So it's going to wreak havoc on the earth. But as you can see, God's going to use that for his own purpose, to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. This great shaking of heaven now, and earth. Some heavenly body has to be passing through to do that, of great magnetism, of heaven and earth. And as Lakeisha saw it coming around the sun, and it very quickly was shaking the earth. Well, Father, we thank you so much. We know your plan is good. We know you love your people. We know you're going to shake some people awake who have been in total darkness, because how could you be otherwise if you're watching the mainstream media? In total darkness, they don't have the foggiest idea what is going on. But they will be shaken awake and begin to search for truth. they will discover that their church has no truth, didn't know any of this, didn't know these things were coming, doesn't know how to live in the wilderness, because Moses is the one that experienced that so he could come back and show God's people how to live in the wilderness, right? And take them to the mountain of God, right? So the Lord has a wonderful plan for his people. We don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. It is total grace and mercy of God. But he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Walk by faith in him. Have the experience that Eve spoke about. See that as yours from God. Don't fear or be troubled about your sins. They've all been dealt with. I'm talking about the sin nature as well as the things that you do that you don't like and you don't want. Like Paul said, if the good that I would do I do not, it's no longer I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. In other words, God gets on the side of you when you are against your sin. Now, if you're against your sin, you can apply the blood of Jesus. You can reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God, like he tells us in Romans chapter 6. Sixth book, sixth chapter, sixth verse even. So, 666. There's the old man, the beast, the one that dies in the waters of baptism. Like at the Red Sea, the old man that wanted to keep the new man in bondage went down and he didn't come up. Him and all his soldiers, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you. It's a done deal. We thank you that you have graced us with living in this particular age. We thank you for protecting your people through these shakings, spiritual and physical, that are coming. Thank you for the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 5 says our Passover lamb has already been sacrificed. It's just waiting for people to believe it, that Jesus bore the curse for us, that Jesus bore our sins, and we are delivered from the curse because of that. Thank you, Father, for all you have done, all you have given to us, and all that you're telling us that is coming. And Lord, we just ask you to put take away fear out of the heart of those who are true disciples, and put in that place your faith, your confidence of what you're doing. Maybe people don't understand all the things that we've talked about, but you can still put faith in their hearts, Lord, that they will trust in you, Lord. We ask you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you for your mighty deliverance from all that the curse entails. We thank you for your mighty deliverance from the deep state, which has infiltrated Satan's kingdom throughout the earth. He was well nigh completely the Lord over America, which is the head of the beast body, by the way, whether you believe it or not. He was well now taking that head over. If you take the head over, you've got the body, right? He was well nigh there. And now for a short time, God is going to extend his mercy to us in giving us a deliverance and a provision that he has planned. And Lord, we do thank you and we do praise you for all of this that you're doing. We want to see the kingdom built. We want to see the gospel go throughout the earth. Lord, you've been using us for years to store up grain in the granaries of Joseph, you told us, in order to release it during the 7 years of famine. And thank you, Father. Thank you. You do all things well. Everything you plan is perfect and for our good, whether it looks that way or not. Of course, civil war doesn't look that way, but the swamp has to be drained. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to do it. In Jesus' name, we thank you so much, Father, for all your wonderful plans for us. Hallelujah. Well, okay, saints. You know, a lot of this stuff I was sharing towards the end here was stuff from memory, and I didn't have a chance to go back and actually find out where, look through archives and find out where I've seen all this. But anyway, maybe some minor corrections will come, and that'll be good. We want nothing but the truth, right? Amen. All right. God bless you. Good night.